This is the Missing People Podcast. Hello, I'm Steve Braunham. Recently, my co-host, Kelly Jolkowski, president and founder of Project Jason, spoke with Janelle Rapp, founder of GINA for Missing Persons, a nonprofit project of the National Heritage Foundation. On October 17, 2000, Janelle's sister, GINA Boss, disappeared without a trace. Since that fateful day, Janelle's life and mission changed to one of doing all that she can to locate her missing sister and help to locate other missing people and supporting their families. As a songwriter and performer herself, Janelle's used those talents to aid in helping the missing and their families. Also, she works tirelessly to bring together recording artists from all over the country in an effort to raise awareness of all people who go missing every year. Their mission is to bring together media agencies and artists to create an avenue of hope and awareness to guide people whose family members become missing. And now on to Kelly and Janelle's conversation.
Hi, Janelle. Thanks for joining us today on the program. You and I met a number of years back, and that meeting was initialized by you. How did we come to meet, and how did you come to be involved with the missing? What happened to you in your life?
Well, in 2000, October 17th of 2000, my sister Regina Boss disappeared out of Lincoln, Nebraska. And when she disappeared, as you know, your world just is not the same anymore. I heard about your son, his disappearance, I think it was about 6 months after my sister disappeared, and I felt the need to contact you. I'm not sure how I was able to contact you, but somehow we were able to get in touch with each other.
And what happened with GINA? What was the circumstances with her disappearing, and what was the family's reaction to that?
GINA was playing at an open mic night. She's a musician. We come from a large family of music people, and she was performing. She played four songs, and when she finished that night at 1 a.m., she walked out with her guitar, and that was the last she was seen. The next day, her car was found across the street from the pub where she performed, and her trunk was slightly ajar, and her guitar was inside. So it appears that something happened, possibly right there across the street from the pub.
And so the next day when this was discovered, then what were the events that transpired after that?
Well, all the family members were called, and we made our way home. And I honestly thought, you know, we'd put flyers out, we'd blanket the city, and we'd find her within a few days. I didn't really think that she would leave her children at all. That was never something that I even entertained. I really thought she was in trouble. She would never leave her kids. So I knew something horrible had happened, or she was in trouble somehow. And so we just blanketed the city, the state. We gave flyers to truck drivers. We didn't really know anything about missing. We really, I mean, at that time, I really thought when someone was missing that the whole world opened up its doors, police departments, press, everybody would open their doors just to help with that one missing person. But I found out that it wasn't quite so easy.
And how did that happen for you in as far as getting the attention of the police and the media and the world? What was the struggle in that?
Well,
how
initially,
did you overcome that to some extent anyway?
Okay. Initially, we were able to get attention in the local area of Lincoln, Omaha, and some surrounding states. But when I tried to go national, you know, as time passed, of course, I'm thinking she could be anywhere. So we need national attention for her. And, you know, I worked for 6 months. I knocked on every possible national media door, magazine, publication, and they all said the same thing, basically, with different words. But they said, you know, your sister disappeared. There's no story. It's not national newsworthy. There's no scandal. There's no suspect. You don't have money. You're not famous. You know, sorry. You know, we're sorry for you. We feel bad for you, but that's, we can't do anything to help. And I, by the six-month point, when I had knocked on every door I could find, I was quite depressed, and I went to bed that night, and I literally did one of those things where you wake up in the middle of the night and sit up in bed, and I just thought, I'm going to do what I already do. And so I started asking my friends if they would do concerts across the country to get attention for missing people, even if it was at a coffee house. I thought, well, that's better than what I'm doing right now. And I decided to include other missing people besides my sister. And when I first met you, I believe I was working on that. And we raised money, and we made a CD, and we put 13 missing people, including your son Jason, on this first CD. And my artist friends donated their music, and we did a Look, Listen, and Pass It On CD, where at every event we gave whoever attended the CD, and we asked them to look, listen, and pass it on. And every CD that we've made, which we've made four so far, someone off the CD, one or two people have been found that were profiled on the CD.
What was the wonderful little miracle story that happened from the first CD that you had produced at the time that I met you?
There was a young man from Indianapolis who had been missing for 7 months. And I believe you introduced me to his mother. That's my recollection.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, she had not been able to receive very much help from her local police department and no press at all on her missing son. And so he was the very last person that we put on that very first CD. He was the 13th person. And 3 days after our New York City event, when we asked people to look, listen, and pass it on, he was found, and he was able to get home to his family.
I always remember that story. That just warmed my heart. It's a testament to hope. And I know that you know all about hope in having waited for 6 years and long for Gina. How do you incorporate hope into your daily life and routine?
Basically, I incorporate it by trying to help others that are newly in this situation. I incorporate hope by just simply getting on about my business of living my life and doing things for myself and for my family and helping others. When Gina disappeared, I seriously felt like somebody scooped out all of my insides. And the only way to fill up that area was to help others. And, you know, if I'm not helping others with this situation, if too much time goes by, I start to fill that hole again.
Your organization, which is called Gina for Missing Persons at 411gina.org on the internet, how did you come to found that? And then also tell us that if a family contacts you through finding you on the internet or some other means, what does the Gina organization do for those families?
Okay. Initially, I just thought we'd do concerts. But I found there were so many other needs and so many other avenues that hadn't been tapped. And so now, when somebody calls us and they need our help, we have a number of things that we can offer them. We can put the face of their loved one on our website, which at this point we've been working so hard to get publicity for the missing that now our website is an avenue of publicity for them. And sometimes even press articles have been written just simply because somebody was placed on our website. We also have a monthly webcast that we do the third Saturday of every month that we profile anywhere from 5 to, we've profiled as many as 20 different missing people. We have a television show called America Lost and Found that aired on the West Coast for 24 weeks. It's currently, you know, in the process of getting syndicated. We're going back and forth with all the paperwork. We're not sure how long that will take. We do a concert series throughout the year called Gina Concerts. Artists volunteer to do these concerts throughout the country, and they're very much like our first concert where we ask people to look, listen, and pass it on if we do have a CD available, or we have flyers at all of those events. And we work on getting press for each of these events that we do. And then we also have the Squeaky Wheel Tour in October and November, and that is as many events as we can do as possible. And this year our goal is to have 500 events between October 16th and November 4th.
Some of our listeners may not know what a webcast is and what that's about and how they can participate in the webcast. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes. The webcast is basically a television show on your computer. And every month we have different artists performing, and the artists will, you know, throughout their performance will talk about different missing people and the statistics about that particular missing person and ask people to look, and if they have any information to call their local police or the number on there. How they can watch or view our webcast, it's always the third Saturday of every month at 411gina.org, and it's always at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. They might want to get on a few minutes early in case they have to download something that their computer may not be equipped with. But it should only take about 15 minutes to get on, and it's free to watch. And, you know, it's completely supported by donations, and the artists that perform give of their time freely. But we always have amazing, incredibly talented artists that give of their time. And it is the artist's fan base that gets us, the viewers, to help find these missing people.
I always enjoy those shows, and they're very talented individuals performing on the webcast. I also like that it's interactive, and the people watching at home can actually send emails to you or the other artists. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, we love that when people email in and you know, give us comments or ask us questions. It's it helps us to know if we're on the right track or not.
Do you know how many people watch the webcast on an average, or do you not have those types of figures available?
We have anywhere from 200 to a little over 1,000 people watching on any given webcast at this point.
Oh, that's great. That is wonderful. So if you're listening and you haven't listened to Janelle's webcast, be sure to tune in on the third Saturday of every month. Let's talk about your music. How would you describe your music? And since Gina went missing, how did your music change?
Well, my music is, I'm a singer-songwriter, have been my whole life. It's in the vein of Carole King, Joni Mitchell, you know, folk, kind of pop, rock vein. I don't know that my music has changed, but my focus and my mission with my music has changed. I always felt that my music had to mean more than just, you know, I want to do music and I want people to watch me and I want people to buy my CD. I always felt that it had to do with helping people, but I couldn't find that home. I spent a lot of my life, you know, working in the church or volunteering for all different kinds of charities with my music, hoping that I would find a home for it, and I just didn't. And when Gina disappeared, and, you know, that at that six-month point when I decided to start doing concerts, I still did not realize, wow, this is my mission with my music. It took a while for it to sink in that, wow, this, your whole life you knew that your music was supposed to do something besides just be about, you know, what your viewpoint was in your songs and people liking you and purchasing your product. It became a, you know, my true mission in life, which is interesting that my sister would disappear for me to find that. I don't know really what to say about that other than it's interesting.
You've written several songs that have very deep meaning because of what has happened to you and your family. And throughout the program, we're going to showcase four of those songs. We'll have a small snippet of one at the beginning and one at the end, and then two interspersed. At the beginning, we'll have a segment from a song called About Faith, and then at the end we'll have As Far As. Can you talk to us about those two songs and the meaning behind them?
About Faith is, the first song that I wrote about my sister when she disappeared. And it talks about there being a thick black fog from L.A. to Nebraska. And, just how, a person feels when someone's missing, how that, there are just so many missing pieces and it's so hard to put the puzzle pieces together. And the result of that song was that, I realized upon her disappearance that I didn't realize what faith really was about until she disappeared. Then it was like, wow, I just realized how much I don't know about faith.
And as far as, what's that about?
As far as, it's a lighter song, but it's about knowing that though you lose things in your life and things are gone, they're still always with you. They're still always a part of you, and they can't, nobody can take them away, and nobody can take Gina away.
You're absolutely right. She's always there in your heart. If someone is interested in your music and they want to hear some more of your music, where would they go on the internet?
They can go to Janelle, J-A-N-N-E-L, rap, R-A-P, .com.
And the song that we're going to showcase now is one of my personal favorites. It's a beautiful song. It's called October 17th, and as we've already heard, that date has a lot of meaning for you and your family. What does that song mean? What is it about?
Well, I believe it was 2003 to 2004. It rained so much in the Southern California area. It started raining on October 17th that year, and it continued to rain until about March. I've lived out here a long time, about 18 years, and I don't remember ever having that much rain. And I went to the grocery store right as the rain had stopped. Not that I waited the entire time, but I went, and the girl that was checking me out said, "Aren't you glad the rain is finally gone?" And it just occurred to me that it started raining on October 17th, and now it's gone. And so in my head, I instantly started getting this song and this tune. And I got out to my car, and I'm driving through the parking lot, and there's a car in the parking lot. Nobody's in the car. The trunk is slightly ajar, just like my sister's car. And I just burst into tears, and I kept writing the song. And I drove home, threw my groceries in the house, and I literally had to run to the piano to finish the song because it was just spilling out of me. And my ice cream was melting and everything, but, the song came out of that. And it's really about, asking God to, take this cup, lift me up. There's this thing that's happened, and, it's changed me, but I'm going to make it through, but I just need a leg up, a hand up.
And you have indeed made it through. You're such a shining light for those of us who deal with having a missing person, and you're one of my heroes. Here's Janelle Rapp with October 17th.
She said, "Aren't you glad the rain is finally gone?" Then I heard the words for this song. She didn't understand what she was saying, but something deep inside of her must have heard me praying, 'cause it's been raining since October 17th. I don't know if you know what I mean. I've been treading water all this time. At times it brings me comfort, at times I lose my mind. So lift me up, pull me up, doesn't stop. All the power goes out with all the clocks. You find you're walking forward, standing still. 'Cause someone took your life, someone has your will.
Thank you, Janelle. That's so beautiful. Every time I hear that, I can't help but having tears in my eyes. Thank you for sharing your music with us and using it to help so many people across the nation. It's very powerful.
This concludes part one of their conversation. You've been listening to the Missing People podcast, copyright 2007. Rights reserved jointly by the Missing People Podcast and Project Jason. For more information about Project Jason, please go to www.projectjason.org. For information about GINA for Missing Persons, go to www.411gina.org. That's 411gina.org. Original music created and performed by Janelle Rapp. From my co-host, Kelly Jolkowski of Project Jason, this is Steve Braunham with the Missing People Podcast.